everybody. This is Tri Alive on Blog Talk Radio. We are a show about triathlons, training, goal setting, inspiration, the Be Alive message, and more. Calling in from Anchorage, Alaska is Casey Randall. Casey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Robert. Good morning. How are you doing today?
All is well up here in Willow. It's a little chilly. I have not seen temperatures fluctuate this much in March in several years. It'll be 35 degrees below during 35 degrees in the daytime and then 20 below at night, a fluctuation of almost 50 degrees up here.
I know, it's crazy. I can't remember the date they gave in the newspaper the other day, but you know, we're hitting something that hasn't been hit in decades as far as our kind of our chill here in March. And I know I saw on the Iditarod Trail, I mean, they were having negative 50 temperatures, so I guess we can't complain here, right?
You cannot complain. The Iditarod is going strong. We are on, I guess that would be day 3 of the race. It started on Monday in Fairbanks. A lot of the racers are well into 200 miles of the race, so about a fifth of the way done, and they are cruising, aren't they?
They are. It's just, it's fun to look and get the updates. And I was reading about Nicholas Petit's big meal that he had. And I read about it late at night last night, and it made me super hungry because it sounded really good.
It did. You know, that's a real special treat. It's a prize that they give to the musher who makes it to the Yukon River first. And they prepare a gourmet meal on cook stoves, on camp stoves from the lakefront hotel down here in Anchorage, and they also give them $3,500 in cash. So it's a nice little treat to make to that first spot, isn't it?
It is, and I saw that. I think it was Martin Boozer that he invited to eat with them, because I think he came in right after him, but then he wanted to get some sleep, so he invited someone from the town, and so then they picked one of the elders, and it sounded like it was really cute, and she was eating food she had never eaten before, so it was kind of funny.
Cool. And you know what's cool about that, since we're on that, did you know, Casey, that they get that same meal prepared for them in style at the lakefront at any time for Nick and a guest sometime in the next year? They can have that same meal that they had out on the trail.
I did not know that. Maybe I need to become friends with Nick and go get a good meal, right? That's funny.
I know.
That's a nice gesture that they do. That's really neat.
It is. So we did not have a topic for today when we ended last week's show. So what is on the agenda today?
Well, I know that we did talk about getting an update on your training for Lava Man, which is coming up. And then also you have another big thing coming up with your Epic Expedition. So I wanted to hear a little bit about what's happening with that.
All right, so first off, the Lava Man is going to be happening, I believe it is on April 2nd, whichever that Sunday is, over on the Big Island of Hawaii. We're traveling over on Wednesday afternoon before. Things are going okay. I'm a lot behind on swimming, so I'm a little leery of that. I'm okay on the bike, okay on the running. But I don't know yet, Casey. I'm even thinking about joining up on a team and having somebody swim for me. I was going to ask you about that. What are your thoughts?
So you can do that? You can change to be on like a relay team?
Yes. If you do it before March 15th, which I think is in a couple of days.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, it's coming up. Well, you know, I mean, you got to feel comfortable with what you're doing. And, you know, you guys have time cutoffs, right? So you know that if the swim is your first thing, if you don't hit that, then you're not going to be able to go on. So, you know, you've got to take a look at yourself. And, I mean, if you know someone you want to do a relay with, but if you have confidence that you can make that cutoff, I mean, of course, I'd say go for it. You have trained hard for this. So I don't know.
Right,
what do you think?
Right. You know, I'm thinking about it. I'm going to think about it over the next couple of days before we go out on the trip. But speaking of the trip, we are going out on our expedition this Saturday. We're taking out a group of 8 students from the UAA Outdoor Leadership Department. We're going to go 145 miles on the trails. It follows very closely the Junior Iditarod trail, and my friend and I went out this weekend and buzzed around the entire trail on snow machines and marked the whole thing. And I'm going to tell you what, Casey, it is a no-joke trail for these young kids that haven't had a lot of time on fat bikes and haven't had a lot of time on dog teams. I don't know if they know what they're getting into, but boy, they sure are ready for the adventure.
I bet. I bet they are super enthusiastic. And I mean, I know we've mentioned it before, but this is like a once in a lifetime experience. You guys are going to go visit some really neat lodges that, you know, most people don't even get to go to one of those. And you guys are hitting what, three of them?
We're going to three lodges. We're heading, actually four. We're starting at Eagle Quest Lodge here in Willow, starting there on Saturday night and then leaving on the trail on Sunday. We're going to go down the infamous Corral Hill that is made famous on Iditarod. Lots of Iditarod mushers have crashed there a time or two. I'm sure you know where that is, right there at the bottom of the hill as you hit the river. And then we're going to travel up the Sioux River and then on to the Yetna. And I understand you have a cabin up there someplace. I was trying to pick out a Be Alive sign somewhere as I was traveling, but I didn't see any along the way. So maybe one day I'll visit. And then we're stopping at Yetna Station, which is the first checkpoint on Iditarod. Then we're traveling up about 20 more miles to the Northwoods Lodge, which is a very nice lodge. They have a hot tub and pool table and gourmet meals and the whole nine yards, so we'll be pampered a little bit on that day. And then we have an epic 42-mile day downriver and then overland through some pretty up-and-down windy trails to Eagle Song Lodge, which is sort of smack dab in the middle of nowhere, which was made famous on the show Buying Alaska, or Building Alaska, excuse me, where they profiled them on one of those DIY channels. It's a pretty cool place. It's a, what is it, a peony farm or peony farm, however
right.
you say that.
Yep.
And then after that, really up and down trails, carrying us back to the river. And then we're going to end up at Red Shirt Lake, which is right here in the Nancy Lake State Park system, pretty much across the highway from our place here in Willow. And then onward to the community center in Willow, where the restart of Iditarod typically happens, but not this year.
Right. Oh my gosh, I can't tell you how jealous I am. I am so excited for the students and for yourself, and I think this will be I think it already is a hit, but I could see this continuing each year. And you know what's so funny, especially for people listening and they think Alaska in the middle of nowhere, and then you talk about having like hot tubs or saunas or these delicious meals, and you know, people have created really awesome places out in the middle of nowhere in Alaska that are real treats to visit.
They have. You know, when we were out there this weekend, we saw a snow machine. He was pulling three huge trailers on skis. And then at the back of the trailer, like a caboose, he had this plastic whatever type caboose-looking thing where the kids rode in relative comfort. I bet it was at least 35 feet long from tip to tail, and they were just cruising down the river, probably going 30 or 40 miles an hour, and the kids were just kicking back. They were probably playing video games, and that's how they do. They travel up and down that river like a highway, don't they?
They do. I mean, we've seen everything out there, and I'm sure you have too. You know, we used to have, we called it the pod. It was a little carriage thing like that, not as big, but definitely where the kids could sit in back. And it is traveling in style. Some of those even have heaters in them. And I mean, we've seen heavy machinery traveling down the river. I've seen a horse pulling, you know, a sleigh down the river. Of course, there's bikes and skiers and snow machines. But yeah, the rivers become highways. I mean, they're the roads in the wintertime.
Right. You know, a couple of years ago, I saw a guy carrying a flat screen TV. It had to have been a 50-inch TV in a box, probably right from Best Buy that afternoon, right down the river on his snow machine, barreling down, probably going 40 miles an hour with a $1,000 TV in a box, as he worked his way to his winter cabin there somewhere along the river system.
That's really funny. You know, someone could probably take like a GoPro or, you know, any kind of video camera out there. And on a weekend with heavy traffic, you could probably get some pretty good footage of what's the craziest thing, you know, going up and down the river in the winter.
Right, for sure. Yeah, so we're having a pretty big adventure this weekend. And then, like I said, just less than a week and a half later, if I am not just totally destroyed from this trip, I'm going to jump on the plane and head to Hawaii, at least soak up some sun and hang out in the ocean for a little while, at least for a few days before the triathlon, and then come back and do it all over again.
Right. Yeah, you kind of planned that all really close together there. But I'm sure someday you'll look back and, you know, it's one of those things where you tell yourself, just go for it, because, you know, you don't have those regrets of the things that you didn't do. So I think it's going to turn out great, Robert, either way of however you do the race.
Oh, I do, too. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I didn't do this intentionally. I signed up for the Iditarod, the triathlon, I believe, last June or so. So that was before we had dates set for the expedition. But it just so happened to work out that way. But, hey, if you're sore from one thing, you might as well just keep on going and you can heal all up at once. I don't think there will be a big problem. I'm looking forward to it. And what a way to spend the winter doing your favorite things, mushing and fat biking and all that, and then ending in the sun, and then coming back and getting ready to tackle spring, because there's always all sorts of things to do in Alaska in the springtime, isn't there?
Well, there is. And, you know, the light, I mean, as it was streaming in my window this morning, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, it starts to go up so fast. And actually, I wanted to ask you about that, because now I forget, we're going to spring forward this weekend, right, for the clocks?
Right.
And so is that,
yeah.
I forget, is that called daylight savings? Is that in the fall or spring? I can't remember which is which, but I love daylight savings. Like, I love springing forward and getting the light. And, you know, a lot of people, you hear them complain or they don't like it. It throws off their schedule. So I was wondering, how do you feel about when our clocks change?
You know, yes, you definitely spring forward in the spring and fall back in the fall. That's how I always remember it. And, yes, that does happen
right.
On Sunday. You know, I don't know. I've lived in Alaska for 7 years, and I'm going to tell you right now, Casey, I still have one heck of a time trying to sleep in the middle of June, early July. I just cannot sleep well when it's light outside and we have the dark out windows and all curtains and all that in the bedroom. But it's still tough for me to try to go to sleep. I just find myself not getting good sleep in the summer. But in the winter, I love the dark. I love to go out, and it's not nearly as dark here as it is, say, as you go north, say Fairbanks and then onward up. But it's still dark quite a bit. I guess in the winter we're at least dusk from, I don't know, 2:30, 3 o'clock on till about 9 or 10 a.m. But then and then we just have light a few hours of the day. But then again, in the summer, you sure can do a lot of playing in the light. I don't know how many times we've been out working in the yard till 10 or 11 at night, and then we'll barbecue out on the grill, you know, and then finally settle down and head inside at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right. And I just think that's just the reality for Alaskans. And I think it's funny, you know, growing up in Michigan, you know, our parents would say, okay, come home when it gets dark. You can't say that to your kids in Alaska because it doesn't get dark. And so they'll be up all hours. And, you know, you only get that little bit of when it does get dusky and a little dark, and then it goes, you know, you watch the sun come back up. But I hope that they keep the, you know, the time, because I love it when it springs forward. And then if they don't keep it, you know, I know there's always trying to get this, you know, let's stop it. But then we wouldn't be the land of the midnight sun, at least down here. We'd be like the land of the 11 o'clock sun. So I like summers, but it is all I can tell already. Everybody just starts to get manic. You know, we got to do everything and we end up fishing. And like you said, before you know it, it's 1:30 in the morning, but it feels like, you know, it's still just early evening, and you just go, go, go. And then when winter hits, at least for us, I enjoy the darkness too, because it's kind of a time to rejuvenate and, you know, sit around the wood stove. But then it doesn't take long to want to get out in the snow and play as well. And we have a lot of snow. I know you do too. It's going to last. I wonder how breakup's going to be this year with it with it melting, or if we're just going to have it way into summer.
Interesting. After I get back from Hawaii, I have a friend that I met through my radio show that lives in New York City. He is an urban musher. He takes pet dogs to run on scooters and bikes and carts and that sort of stuff through Central Park. And he doesn't know much about mushing. He got the company from a friend of his that was a dog walker. And he thought, wow, let's offer this, because he has a Siberian Husky. Let's offer exercise to sled dog type dogs, you know, Huskies and Malamutes and, you know, all of that. And he's going to be coming up to visit us on April 7th, whichever day that weekend is. And he booked his ticket back in January before we had a whole lot of snow. And I was really kind of biting my nails figuring out, ooh, early to mid April too late to come up and, you know, get on the dog sleds and learn how to mush and do all that? Because sometimes, you know, Casey, we don't have anything that early. Everything's all melted. They call it breakup up here, and it truly is, where everything just melts, and it usually melts real quick, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah, it makes everything a big mess.
Right. So, yeah, hopefully everything works out. I think it will with him. His name is Manny. He's going to be a cool guy to come up. He's never been to Alaska, and he's never been around a real sled dog kennel. But, you know, that's his business in New York City. He says he's going to come up and learn from one of the best. So that's a nice pat on the back to me, I guess.
That's wonderful. It sounds like you are sharing that with a lot of people. I mean, like going on this epic expedition. And then I know that you volunteered time last year to give people rides at UAA. Actually, we came over and got to get on the runners of your sled it was just a few seconds, but that few seconds kind of hooked you, and it was so much fun. So you sharing that love of what you do, who knows the people who, you know, are inspiring mushers that you'll see down the trail. You never know.
Right. And, you know, Casey, that's really our mantra here at our kennel. You know, a lot of kennels are all about racing and Iditarod and, you know, doing all that. And that's sort of what they have their sled dogs for. But over the years, we've always been a family kennel. And I don't know how many people we've introduced to the sport, just taking out on rides. And, you know, we've done Boy Scout troops and Girl Scout troops and, you know, business owners and the whole nine yards. And that's how we share our passion. We're not big into the racing. I'm not much into, you know, going out there and competing with other people if I don't have to. But, you know, that's a fun part of it. But, yeah, our goal is to introduce as many people as we can to our lifestyle and our passion. And that's why we do what we do.
Right. And I'm guessing that, you know, I mean, I'm always looking for that, you know, just get up every day and be alive and love what you do and spread that joy to others. And it sounds like, I mean, you guys moved to Alaska and you found, and I know that you did that previously, but you found that, hey, this is what we want to do and where we want to live. But you've had to work hard out there. I mean, you guys homesteaded, right? I mean, you pretty much started from the ground up where you're at now.
Well, we bought a house that was in pretty tough condition. It was really neglected. It had renters in it for a long time. It used to be a mushing kennel back in the early 2000s, but this place was built, I believe, in the late 60s or so. So it's an older log cabin. But boy, when we moved in, Casey, I don't know how many dumpsters of just stuff laying around, you know, tires and wood and, you know, just old stuff that people just sort of left along the wayside. And it took us a couple of years to get it to where we wanted it. And, you know, we mentioned what we do in the summer. We just keep going, going, and going. That's really the time that we take to do a home improvement project or two. Like this summer, we have a fence to build around a backyard. We haven't had a chance to do that. And we're going on our seventh summer, so we'll definitely get that that fence up. But one of these days, it'll be as we want it. But that's sort of how it is when you buy a house, isn't it? You kind of make it your own as you work your way through.
Right, for sure. And, you know, it just made me think of, I mean, out by where you live, too, and I know that there was the fires, it's been 2 years ago that there was the big sockeye fire out there, and I was reading about, actually, we were out kind of by you. We went up to Sheep Creek Lodge. We like to go up there sometimes and have dinner. And there was, got to chase the aurora afterwards, which was awesome because that's always really fun to see. But we sat next to Jamie and Justin High, and I know that they had their house burned down twice. And, you know, they were out there, and I know, like, other, there's a bunch of other mushers that lost things, and D.D. Genro, and, you know, thinking about just the Alaska spirit and how people just don't give up here. I mean, I think that people help each other out, you know, friends become family, and it's just a, I don't know, it's a great place to be, and I know you probably see it more out there than we do here in the city, of people just coming together to really help each other out in times like that.
Yeah, that was an amazing coming together during that fire. That was a real scary time for everybody in this community, and I'm sure most people that are listening have at least heard about that. But you mentioned the Highs, Justin and Jamie. A young couple in their early 20s, I guess, early to mid-20s, their house burned down twice in like 15 months or something like that. They lost their fire to some type of wood stove accident or something in their shed, and it burned down the entire place. And then just like a year later or so, they rebuilt, and then they lost their house again during that sockeye fire. And now, after all of that, they are finally able to get everything together and run the Iditarod. Justin is running Iditarod as a rookie this year, and he's finally been able to get his home back together. They built another house, I guess the third one in just a couple of years, and he's out on the trail right now doing what he does as a rookie in Iditarod.
I know, and it's just unbelievable. I mean, that persistence, that perseverance, the determination. I mean, you know, you can't help but look at people who have gone through things like that and still have this positive attitude, and they don't give up and they just keep going. And it inspires me. I'm sure it inspires you too.
Of course, of course. And you know, another one there, you had mentioned D.D. Genro, who she had had a whole bunch of struggles leading up to that. And, you know, her mom had passed away from cancer. I believe her dad as well had passed away. And right after that, her house burned down. She lived sort of right next door to Jamie and Justin. And she did the same thing. She went out and did the Iditarod that same year, just 6 months or so after the fire. You know, the fire was in late June, and she was out on the runners and competing in Iditarod in early March of the following year. That takes not only a lot of tenacity, but a lot of help and support from not only her family, but everyone around her. And I think that's what's important about not only the mushing community, but as you mentioned, Alaskans in general, especially as we get more rural. Because, you know, you folks in the city have that same Alaskan attitude, but it's a city. You know, you guys have, what is it, 350,000 people or whatever. So it's not as neighborly, so to speak, as a smaller community as you move north.
Right, exactly. You know, and there's a lot of resources here, and I'm very thankful for those resources as far as, you know, medical and, you know, if you run right down the road to the grocery store. But, yeah, there isn't that small town, just, you know, help your neighbor out. We have great neighbors, and they're awesome, and we get lots of help. But, you know, the big city mentality is much different than being out in the smaller town. And, you know, Dee Dee herself had cancer, and I remember years ago when she went through her cancer, and she's a cancer survivor, and then my mother-in-law was diagnosed with cancer, and she got through that too, but she had come to Alaska, and we went and we listened to Dee Dee talk. And, you know, that was just for me looking at both of these very strong women. And of course I had no idea that years later I would myself, go through my own cancer journey and then become a cancer survivor. And, you know, it's just, not a club you want to join, but, you know, everybody has stories, and then you hear them and you learn and you gain strength. And, I feel privilege that people share their stories with us, you know, so that we can gain strength from them. So yeah, Dee Dee has quite the stories, and she's out there with her pink, and she's, you know, promoting awareness and all that. So a lot of the mushers have stories that they're on the trail, you know, that what they're supporting things. So it's pretty neat.
And, you know, that's one tough lady, isn't it, Casey? Not only has she done Iditarod probably 30 times and done very well. She's never won, but she has had many top 10 finishes. I believe she's come in second a couple of times. But she is also a triathlon athlete. She's ran in several triathlons. And she's also a marathoner. And I believe, I don't know if it's the Boston or the New York Marathon, she's ran one of the big boys, hasn't she?
I think so. And you know what else she's done is she has done Mount Marathon, too. And I don't know if you knew this, but a number of years ago, she got a slot in the Kona to do the World Championship Ironman. And they give special invitations. And it's funny that you talk about your swimming. And you know what? Dee Dee practiced and she trained. I think she got a trainer to help. And I remember she talked about how Norman Vaughn said, you know, dare to fail. And she said, I'm going for it. And she went and did it. And you know what? She didn't make that swim cutoff, but she talked about how she never regretted. And it was just such a great experience in her life. And that was before I ever went and got into doing triathlons, and I was very inspired by listening to her story.
You know, I was too, and here she is in her 50s, maybe even her 60s now, and she's out there competing with all those youngsters. We talked about the rookies like Justin High. You know, it's really the Iditarod, and I guess a lot of sports these days, it's a really wide spectrum of participants, from the youngest, you know, in their 20s to the 60s and 70-year-olds, not only in Iditarod, but in triathlons and marathons and everything else. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's funny. We didn't know what we were going to talk about today, and we had plenty to talk about.
Of course.
So, but you're not going to be here. You're not going to be here next week, right?
Nope. We will not have a show next week. We will be on the following week, and I'll give you a recap of our trip and let you guys know what's happening with the Lava Man, what the decisions have been made. We are definitely going, and we're definitely competing in one way or another, that is for sure. We've already bought our plane tickets and all of that, so we're ready to rock and roll. But, yeah, let's catch up after our expedition, and we'll see what happens from there.
That sounds great. And, you know, March for us is a huge birthday month. My daughter just had her birthday. My son's birthday is tomorrow. My husband has his birthday. So we're kind of just a big party all of March. And mine is until September, so I get to wait. But so we're busy doing all that fun stuff and making cakes. And like I said, it's a great time of year.
Excellent. Yeah, my birthday was last week, so I guess March is a good month to have birthdays. So happy birthday to all the folks in your family, and we wish you the best, and we'll talk in about a week and a half or so.
Okay. Hey, have a great expedition. I can't wait to hear all about it.
Excellent, for sure. Thank you very much. Casey Randall is our host. Be sure to check out Be Alive on Facebook. It is the green and white banner. It says Be Alive on it. Definitely go like her page and share some inspiration with those around you. It'll make for a better day for everyone. We'll talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.